Nehemiah chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 1 and we'll read down through verse 6. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You know, any time you start any kind of endeavor in the Lord's work, in His service, there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be ridicule. We've already seen that this is not the first time this has happened to them. Over in chapter 2, if you'll go back over there with me and look at the last couple of verses, let's look at verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. In those verses, they attacked the people. What are you going to do? Are you rebelling against the king? Now, Nehemiah knew that the king had given him permission to be there. He knew that he'd given him the letters, and that's how he's got all the material. So he knows that this is not going to come to any kind of fruit. They basically said, you know, we're going to build whether you like it or not, and you have no part in it. And they went to build it. But I'm going to tell you something about Satan and his crowd. They do not give up easily. They are extremely tenacious. They are like a bulldog. They won't give up. They won't stop. And so they'll leave you alone. And that's another thing. Satan may leave you alone for a little while, but he's not going to leave you alone forever. You know, we get the idea that the only temptation that Jesus went through was in the 40 days and 40 nights. That's not true. He was tempted in the three categories of sin during that particular time. But it says the devil left him for a season. He continued to try to trip him up, to do everything he could to keep him from going to the cross. So he doesn't give up. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. When you're doing something for God, for God's honor and glory, not yours, but God's honor and glory, and you are doing something that could result in separation from, you know, of God's people in the sense that they are a peculiar people and they have a chance to win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're rebuilding your family, if you're rebuilding your life, whatever it is, he doesn't want you to get to a position where you can be effective in winning people to Christ or serving the Lord in a way that brings him honor and glory. As long as you're not doing any of that, he's not going to mess with you. He'll leave you alone. But here, they started building the wall. So now we come to a part where they're not criticizing the people here. They're criticizing and ridiculing the work. What I'm doing. How silly it is. Let me tell you something. I don't know why this one comes to mind, but it does. When I was at Bethel number 2 in Rising or Herbin, Arkansas, the kids wanted to do a play for Christmas. We didn't like any of the ones that we read, so I wrote one. I wrote the play. And they got ready, they started practicing to put this play on. And I had one deacon that he was just absolutely opposed to it. He ridiculed it. He ridiculed what we were doing. He just thought that, you know, this can't be anything that will be blessed of God. I mean, he was very vocal about it. We put the play on, and the night that the play was put on, these kids did a great job, and two people got saved as a result of that play. You know what I told him when he walked out by me? I said, you might not have thought it was appropriate, but evidently God did. God used that to save two people. I hope he took it, and I hope that he was embarrassed by opposing it after he realized that God had blessed it. Be careful about ridiculing. We can become a part of the ridicule too. If we're not careful, we can, you know, we can look at other churches and they're doing great, and because we may not be doing as good as they are, we may try to tear them down or to ridicule what they're doing. Look, if what they're doing doesn't violate the scriptures and it's not immoral or ungodly, against the law, anything like that, leave them alone. Praise God that people are being saved. You might want to look at it because it might be something that you need to be doing. So be careful about ridicule and never be a part of it, but be ready for it when you start working for the Lord. These two ladies over here are going to, they're making this podcast. And I think I've already told them, if I haven't, I'm telling you now, get ready. Okay. There's going to be people that will ridicule them, that will ridicule their work. Don't let it stop you. Listen, when you get in that, when you start doing enough and they start ridiculing you, you're probably doing something right. So don't stop. Don't let it slow you down. As we're looking at this ridicule here, this is against the work. I want us to look at their response to it. I want you to look at their response. Because none of us like negativism. None of us like to be ridiculed. None of us like to have what we're doing be put down. We want people to like it. We want people to brag on it. We need to first of all recognize the source and the nature of the ridicule. Here this ridicule comes from Sanballat and from Tobiah. And I'm sure they had people that were nodding the head with them and agreeing with them. This ridicule was emotional, and it was about the work, so it's hard when it's your work not to take it personal, isn't it? It says that Sanballat was wroth and took great indignation. His anger turned to mockery. Well, like they didn't stop with the other, and they're just keep on working, you know? Psalm 123, 3 and 4 says, have mercy upon us, O Lord, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. In other words, they were being held in contempt. Ridicule, folks, often aims to break confidence and makes the servant of God feel small. If Satan can get you to lose confidence that what you are doing is what you should be doing and make you feel small, you'll stop. You'll quit. I've had, down in my ministry, I've had several times that people have said things, and you know, if I hadn't have been on my guard, I could have let them eat me up. I mean, I've walking across the cemetery one time, and this fella come up and he said, you preachers just can't let it go, can't you? And I said, sir, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, you always got to bring Jesus into it, don't you? I said, well, yes, sir, I do. Because I was called to preach Jesus. I was called to preach the gospel. You know, and if that upsets you, then don't come to any more funerals that I'm doing. But I'm not going to stand here and argue with him. Satan was just trying to make me feel bad about a sermon that I had just preached. And I'm not going to feel bad about preaching the truth about Jesus and salvation. So I'm going to go ahead and say this, and on the radio, if y'all are listening on the radio, if you're a Church of Christ and you want me to preach your funeral, that is fine. I will be happy to do it, but I'm going to tell them the plan of salvation. If you're an assembly of God, if you're a Presbyterian, it doesn't matter. And listen to me, I have preached funerals for every one of those. I have preached funerals for Catholics. But I'm going to tell the people that are there about Jesus. So if you don't want me to tell them the gospel, then don't ask me to do the funeral. And if I do it, don't ridicule me afterwards. Not going to do any good. So he's trying to break their confidence. Oh man, what are y'all doing? Are you going to make sacrifices? What are you feeble Jews are doing? You know, he's calling them weak and everything else. You know, are you going to revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? They don't want these walls rebuilt. Satan don't want these people to get their heart right with God. So he attacks them. Ridicule attacks the work and the worker. He questioned their ability. Will you revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish? Critics, folks, often mock the weakness of God's people rather than the greatness of God's power. I'm going to use me again as an example here. The first church that I pastored was Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church in beautiful Buncombe, Texas. Little community outside of Gary and Carthage, right on Lake Merbaugh. I had a fellow come up to me and he says, "You can't pastor that church." And some of you would know who I'm talking about if I mentioned his name, but I won't. "You can't pastor that church." That's criticism. I looked at him and I said, "You know what? You're right. Bobby Neal in his strength and power cannot pastor that church. But with God's help, I can. And God helped me. And I was able to be a halfway decent first pastor. Did I make mistakes? Yes. Do I make mistakes yet now? Yes, I do. But I learned real quick that with God's help, I can do it. If I try to do it on my own, I'm going to fall flat on my face." So he's questioning their ability. He's mocking their weakness. "You feeble Jews, y'all are not strong enough to do this." And Satan will do that to you. He'll cause you to question your ability. How many times has somebody been approached to teach a class and they'll say, I can't talk in front of people." Guess what? You're looking at somebody that was scared absolutely silly to get up in front of people and talk. And had it not been for me depending on the Lord to get up behind a pulpit, I never would have done it. I didn't have that kind of outgoing personality. I could make you laugh and everything else, but you put me on a stage and I had stage fright. But I'll tell you this, I learned how to trust the Lord. I learned how to let the Holy Spirit take over and preach the Word of God through me. That's not easy to do. But if you're going to preach the Word, it's what you're going to have to do. Because Bobby Neal is weak. And there have been times when I've said things from the pulpit, and Vicki come afterwards, she'd say, "I can't believe you said that." And I said, "What did I say?" And she'll tell me, and I say, I can't believe that the Bobby Neal that I know said that either. Because I'm a chicken. Y'all know where proud chickens go? Kentucky. I don't want to be a Kentucky fried chicken. Listen, these young preachers are saying, "Brother Bobby, it scares me when I get up." You know what I say? Praise God. Hope it always does a little bit. Because what you're doing is the most important work known to mankind. And you're handling the most important word known to mankind. So I hope you're always just a touch on the nervous side when you get up. So they ridiculed the work and the worker. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." So he's mocking, they're making fun of him. "You too feeble, you can't do it." Oh, you know, negative all over. Ridicule uses exaggerations and lies. Oh, Tobiah, he sneered. "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Goodness. He don't have any confidence at all in their ability. Well, now listen to me. Who did we say was building this wall? They're not construction workers. These are a congregation of people. Some of them were apothecaries. They weren't master craftsmen. But they were a group of people willing to work for the Lord and to build a wall. Now guess what? I think God is in that, in the sense that they may not be the greatest construction in the world, but when they get done, it's going to be stout and strong. If God is in it, who can be against it? If God is for us, who can be against us? Satan may be against us, but he can't defeat us. So God uses people every day to do things that they never dreamed they could do. Didn't know how to do. When I surrendered to the ministry, I moved off to Henderson, Texas to get an education. And my grandfather helped move me down there. And every trip he'd say, I just don't understand why you have to go off to school to be a preacher. And I said, Pop, I don't have to go to school to be a preacher. I'm going to school to be a better preacher, to be the best preacher that I can be. And so that was God preparing me. And there's still things that I face today that I still don't have a clue how to do and what to do and what to say. And that's where our trust in Him comes in. And when people ridicule you and say, well, you don't have the ability to do that, say, I don't, but God does. You don't have the strength to do that, I don't, but God does. You're not smart enough to do that, I'm not, but God is. If He calls you to do something, He will enable you to do it. The enemy's words are meant to sound clever, but they're just empty of truth. I don't know about anybody there, but if my grandpa would have heard him, he'd have looked at him and said, that's about the stupidest thing I ever heard anybody say. That a fox is going to break down this wall. That just shows how little respect Tobiah had for God's people. And if you got that little respect for God's people, you got that little respect for God Himself. So when people are ridiculing what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, for God, don't take it personally. Let it fall to God. If He's called you to do it and He's blessing what you're doing, then you let God deal with those people. Psalm 31 and 13 says, I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. It happens. It happens. So if you're going to work for the Lord, get ready. Somebody's going to have something negative to say. It may come from within the church and it may come from without. From ones from within always hurt worse than the ones from without. So let us make sure we're not guilty of being the ones that do the ridiculing. Second point. Turn ridicule into prayer. Let the ridicule not stop the work, but increase the prayer. Isn't that what he did? Look at verse 4. Hear, O God, for we are despised. And turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, nor let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Nehemiah understood this was not just the work that he and these people were doing. This was God's work. This was what God had laid on his heart. This is what God had called him to do. And he's saying he thinks this would be personal to God. And I think God does take it personally. You know, there was 40 kids that got chewed up by some she-bears because they called one of God's prophets a bald-headed man, a bald-headed old man. Better be careful. When you speak out against God's work, God takes it personally. So be very careful. Nehemiah didn't argue. He didn't stand up and say, well, we're building this wall stronger than you think. He didn't argue at all. He just prayed. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Psalm 55 and 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. We're told to take our cares to the Lord because He cares for us. He'll never leave you, nor will He forsake you. Prayer turns insult into intercession and pain into power. Notice what he said. Now, he's leaving the judgment up to God, but notice his prayer again. He was very pointed. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Lord, use what they've said against them. Turn it against them. Don't let it have fruit among the workers. Don't let it cause the people to stop working. You turn it against them. He says, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Judge them. He's not judging them. He's saying, God, you judge them. You deal with them. Hear, O our God, for we are, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. Deal with them, Lord. We are going to build the wall. We're doing what you called us to do. You deal with them. We're going to keep building. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. When you turn people over to God, you've turned them over to the best one you can. Does that mean that you're being mean to them? No. That means you're turning them over to a merciful, graceful, yet just God. And God knows exactly what they need. They may need a good whooping if they do. He knows how to do that. It could be that what's going on may result in their salvation. You don't know. So you turn them over to God in prayer. You go and you realize Romans 12 and 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. When we let God defend us, what do? We stay free to keep building. I don't have to waste my time arguing. I don't have to waste my time trying to defend what I'm doing. I let God do that. Keep the mission central. Stay focused, in other words. Nehemiah's prayer wasn't for revenge, but for righteousness. He didn't ask God to kill these people. He didn't ask God to do anything. He just said, turn it against them. Lord, you judge them. You take care of them. You deal with them. And he left it up to God how he would do that. Folks, there's nothing wrong with us turning the enemies of God over to God, letting him deal with them. Because he knows better what they need than we do. Here's the deal. Our goal should be to see them saved. And when you turn them over to God, he wants to see them saved too. And he knows exactly what they need in order to get them to that place. So quit trying to do God's work in the sense that you're doing what only God can do. He knows everything. He knows the reason that they're being scornful or that they're ridiculing. And let's stop and talk about that for just a second since I brought that up. A lot of people ridicule and try to tear others down because they feel threatened by that person. They feel threatened. And instead of rising up to the other person's level, they want to bring them down to their level. Folks, you don't have time for that. I can't tell you how many countless times in school that I'd go home and I'd been ridiculed for making good grades. Man, in the time when I went to school, if you made good grades, y'all know what they called you? Teacher's pet. No boy wants to be called a teacher's pet. I would go home and tell Mom, I'm fixing to start making bad grades just so these kids will like me and not make fun of me or not ridicule me. And here's her words. Son, don't ever stoop to their level. They're just jealous. They're just jealous. So a lot of times ridicule comes from people that are just jealous of what you're doing or you're making them feel uncomfortable. Don't stoop to their level. Nehemiah didn't stoop to their level. He just took the problem to God, said, God, here the problem is. You deal with it. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep plodding right along. Keep it central. First Psalm 69 and 9 says, the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. God hears, God sees, God knows. And sometimes he lets it happen to us just to see what our reaction will be, so that we will grow in grace and knowledge. Respond with a renewed commitment. Verse 6. So built we the wall. Let them say what they want to. We're going to build the wall. And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. We're not going to listen to all these naysayers. We're not going to listen to all the barking. We're not going to listen to all the griping and complaining and the ridicule. We're going to work. We're going to keep our focus on the rebuilt wall. You and I should keep our focus on the finish line. Our focus is on Jesus Christ. I've shared this illustration with you before, but boy, to me it is so good. When we lived over at Geneva, we had a white tomcat. Victor named the cat Tiki. Not Kitty, but Tiki. T-I-K-K-Y. That cat, would climb up to the lowest limb on this tree in the front yard, just out of reach of the jumping dogs. And those dogs would bark, and I could just hear them out there ridiculing that cat, calling that cat ugly names, and saying all kinds of derogatory things about that cat, and calling his, you know, talking about his family and everything else. And you know what that cat was doing? He was laying there taking a nap. You dogs bark all you want to. Y'all can sit there and bark till you're hoarse and can't bark anymore. You can sit there and bark until you die. I'm going to take a nap. People, we need to get to be like that. Let the world say what it wants to. Let the people that want to ridicule, ridicule. Words, you know, just let them bark. We need to rest in Jesus. We need to let him give us comfort. We need to let him strengthen us. We need to let him be the focus of everything that we do for his honor and for his glory. And that's what these people did. Y'all go ahead and bark. We're going to be working. You can just spend all your day at the coffee shop downgrading and backballing and everything else you want to. You can say whatever you want to about us, but we're just going to keep on working. And you know what that would do to these people? They're trying to get them to stop. And they see them out there, they keep working after they've attacked them twice. That's like heaping coals of fire on their head. Well, evidently, we don't have much clout, do we? We don't have much control over these people. Work with all your heart. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Ridicule, folks, loses its power when the worker refuses to quit. The worker keeps going. The worker keeps doing what he's supposed to do. Focus on the goal. The best defense against ridicule is progress. You see, progress is so we built the wall. They'd already finished it halfway. They're not going to stop now. Now, there's going to be a little stoppage, and we'll see that later. But right now, they've got a mind to work. And so let them ridicule, let them bark. We're just going to keep on working. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep on building. Keep on running. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. You work on your part of the wall. Let the finished work silence the critics. These fellows, after a while, they will have tried everything that they can try, and they're going to try again. This is not the last time. But it's not going to work. The wall will be rebuilt. A revival will break out at Jerusalem. In spite of all their efforts to stop it, it's going to happen. That'll silence the critics. After it's finished, what else can you say? Here's another thing, keep in mind. Remember who you're working for. Remember who you're building for. That wall was not for Nehemiah's glory. That wall was for the Lord. It was a testimony to God, not to Nehemiah. Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. This is being built through the power of God. Yes, he's using an individual by the name of Nehemiah to get things rolling. But people are working. And it's going to be for God's honor, for God's glory. What are some lessons for us? Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Did you see that? That word blessed means spiritually prosperous or happy. It means you're doing something right because you're being accused falsely for the Lord's sake. He says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." How can I be glad when I'm being ridiculed? "For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." This is, if you're being ridiculed and mocked because you're serving the Lord, you're not the first one. And you won't be the last one. You're in good company. Praise the Lord for that. Do not retaliate, but what? Pray. When mocked for your faith, take it to God. Matthew 5:44 says, "Bless them that curse you." Take it to God. Stay focused. Keep on building. Don't let Satan sidetrack you. The enemy wants distraction, but God wants dedication. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." Trust God. He knows the rubble. He can turn broken stones into strong walls. When ridicule rises, folks, faith must stand taller than fear. Nehemiah didn't fight back with words. He fought back with works and worship. So when the world mocks us, mocks our mission, remember, pray through the pain. Keep your hands on the work and let God handle the critics. You know, there's a fellow by the name of Chuck Swindoll, and he wrote a wonderful little book called Hand Me Another Brick. He highlights it this way. Ridicule is a paper bullet. Sanballat's mockery is designed to demoralize workers by highlighting their weakness, their poverty, and their rubble. He describes these kinds of attacks as a paper bullet of the brain that are intended to be harmful. Paper bullet's not going to hurt anybody, is it? So we respond by keep on working, take the matter to the Lord, and it's not up to us to retaliate. Leave that up to God. He knows best what anybody else needs, and he knows best how to deal with it. So when ridicule comes, praise the Lord that you're doing something right, and keep on working.